We continue with our examination of the DACA program and President Trump's decision to end it with a look at the people part of the equation. Something has to be decided regarding the 690,000 people still holding DACA work visas, 22,000 of them here in New Jersey. This part of the issue will receive attention and be subject to debate over the months to come. My next guest has been part of the protests here in New Jersey in support of DACA participants. She is the organizing and advocacy director for the American Friends Servers Committee, Cha-Cha Wang. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
And the website for American Friends Servers Committee is afsc.org. Now, let's clear some confusion first versus before we, because I've spoken with others about the mechanics of the program, but as far as the DACA program, it's ended, but it hasn't, because those who are in it are allowed to continue to have the protection of the permits until they expire. Is that correct?
That's correct. And then usually DACA approval comes with a work authorization, and so the work authorization will continue until it expires.
Now, what is your hopes moving forward? Because the way it's been decided, again, the president's announcement just said no one new into the pool, so to speak, but those who are in it can continue to swim and until their visas end or until Congress makes a revision of the plan or a finalization of whatever new plan within the next 6 months. If they fail to do so, then the president says that he'll take it by himself to do that. So with that being the scenario over the next 6 months, what are your hopes and priorities?
Yeah, I think it's devastating to the young people, whether they are already in DACA or not, and that, you know, we hope that within the next 6 months, President Trump can actually reconsider, you know, to continue DACA. One, and second, I think it's clearer than ever that the U.S. Congress needs to act, right? As President called them to really act on passing a legislation that would provide permanent solution, and our hope is also that way. There hasn't been any type of immigration policy change or immigration reform in the last, I guess, more than 10 years. So we have millions of people who are living in this country without a valid immigration status. So there has to be a way. We have to change that, right? So we have millions of people, including young people, living in the shadow and have no access to, you know, services, and that, you know, constantly live in fear, and that only legislation can actually provide a permanent solution. So we want the U.S. Congress really to come together, both parties, and to come up with a solution.
Is there a difference in your mind, or if you wish to speak as part of, as representative of American Friends Service Committee, is there a difference between a youth who was a participant in the DACA program who was brought here really under no decision by themselves other than the desire to stay with their family versus someone who violated federal immigration laws through a smuggler or through their own devices and came into this country illegally? Should they both face the same consequences, I guess would be the question?
I think people come here for better lives, whether they're adults or they were brought here by their parents, right? The reason the parents bring their children is because their children are small and there's no livelihood in their home country, which we know is the case in Central and in Central America and African countries and many other countries. You know, I myself is more privileged. I came here for, you know, higher education. So I think that a majority of immigrants, undocumented immigrants, came here without legal status or without valid visa. It's because there was no way for them to actually obtain one. That's why they risked their lives with their small children crossing the border or, you know, arriving at the airport. You know, seeking asylum. So there are many different ways people came, and some came with valid visa and some didn't come with a valid visa, but for the same reason, to seek better lives. So I think bottom line, they all came for the same reason, and that we need to provide humanitarian relief instead of shutting the door or try to deport them.
We are talking with Shasha Wang, who is the Advocacy Director for American Friends Service Committee. AFSC.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And I understand the analogy and the comparison you're making between those two classifications I mentioned, but you know, someone can come back with doing, and that's doing something that's positive, even if it is to whatever varying degree against the law. Someone could also say that, well, you know, if I feel threatened and decide to obtain a gun, but it's an immediate threat and I can't wait through the background check process, or I'll go out and get a gun off the street. Well, I'm going to go to jail no matter what my reason was to get that gun, because the law is the law, is the law, that people will say. So how can you, you know, explain how to take that concept that people have and say, well, but this is someone who is trying to better their life. Why does that override a law that's, in some cases, designed to protect sovereignty of our country?
Yeah, it's challenging. You know, I think that we need to think what we would do if we were in their shoes, right? If, you know, I've been to many countries. I've been to Haiti. I've been to, you know, Southeast Asia. And I have seen, you know, parents who were unable to put food on their table, on the table for their children, and they had to send their children away. And that, you know, I think human migration is sort of very similar. You know, one day you just cannot live like this anymore, that you need to feed your children, or and then you decide to either bring your children or leave them behind, and you started the migration journey, seeking better lives and be able to send money back home. So I think it's beyond law, and I think it's humanity. I think the law right now is missing that humanity. We can call the law, you know, being outdated, that we need to update, right? So we're talking about, you know, 20 years immigration reform, no immigration reform, and then now, you know, the migration need globally has changed, and that I certainly think every country has the right to its sovereignty. And but, you know, if we allow, I don't think we should see other human beings suffer. I don't think we can. I think we should reach out and with a helping hand. And that I don't think immigrants are coming to take anything away from us. So I think that that fear may not exist, or not as much as, you know, people are talking about here. Nobody's coming, you know, really to kill us with a gun. You know, these are parents with small or older children, and who wants to stay here seeking better life. And sometimes, you know, when they save enough and they go back home, and then I think that, you know, that's just human nature. So, you know, I think that we should think about what we would do if we were in their shoes. And I think that most people in this country don't have that kind of experience. It's really hard to imagine, but sometimes, you know, we can and we should be.
I want to quote something you said back in August. Immigrants cannot be sitting home and be silent at this time. I don't think anyone can change the president's mind, but we want to urge the U.S. Congress to act to introduce and pass legislation to provide a permanent solution to this problem. That was August. Here we are going into the middle of September. It sounds like the president is in the process of changing his mind, doesn't it? I mean, at least to the point where when he at the urging of Nancy Pelosi, said for the next 6 months there's not going to be any ICE massive roundups.
There isn't, or there is?
There isn't.
Oh, she said that?
The president said that. The president said that this is something that the House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi urged President Trump to make the statement, and he indeed said that there will not be, over the next 6 months while Congress ponders what to do with the DACA program, there will not be any immigration roundups, because obviously for those who are participating in the DACA program, immigration has all their information if they wanted to round up as however many they wish to do out of the 690,000 nationally, 22,000 currently in New Jersey.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think that I don't think that DHS, Department of Homeland Security, or Immigration Customs Enforcement will stop, you know, enforcement activities, because that's their job. And we were told many, many times that it's their job to enforce immigration law, to apprehend people, and then to deport people. So I, you know, so that means that's their daily job. They're not going to drop their job and not to enforce it. So I'm not sure if, you know, President Trump knows what he's talking about, or, you know, he may mean something else that we didn't really understand. But, you know, I don't see how enforcement or raids will stop. It could be, you know, it could be less, it could be more. There, at any given time, there are about 34,000 people who are subject to mandatory detention, you know, and these are not people who are serving their criminal sentences. They are just there because they are lacking immigration status, or, you know, and they were arrested or identified on the street, and now sitting in detention. Some of them, you know, are there, have been there for a long time. So, you know, we really don't know about that, do we? So, you know, those are the results of enforcement. So, and that, you know, the enforcement agencies are given the job to detain and deport people, you know, so I don't see how that's true.
Well, I think in his tweet, in his response to Pelosi, he was specifically saying that because this was a mistaken fear that some had, that there would be this mass roundup of all the DACA participants in the next 6 months. And that was he was specifying, that if you're holding that DACA visa, you're not going to get rounded up. I mean, just to clarify that point, because we have to come to the last couple of minutes here. But over these next 6 months, over these next 6 months, as Congress is now charged with coming up with a revision, a compromise, or restructure of the DACA program, and what to do with those who, as their visas expire, what are your hopes and what are your plans as far as your organization is concerned, the work that you're going to be doing?
Yeah, we're going to actually be talking to our young people, and FSC is a leading legal service provider in the state of New Jersey. We have about over 300 DACA recipients. So we will have meetings with some of these young people, and then provide them with, you know, legislative information. And then at the same time, we will be talking to, you know, our House of Representatives and our senators, and to really tell them the impact of, you know, DACA being, you know, canceled, and the hope that, you know, their hope to stay in this country, as, you know, to continue education and to continue their lives, and then what kind of, you know, and see if they can, you know, work together and shoot for the best legislation that can grant them, you know, the ability to stay. So that's what we will be doing, educating our elected officials and work with our young people to do so.
And to learn more about this issue, the work of the American Friends Service Committee, and to join them in their efforts, if that is something you so desire, their website is afsc.org. We've been joined by their organizing and advocacy director, Chao-Chao Wang, and thank you so much for the insight, the understanding of DACA from the inside versus the analytical side outside, because I think that clears up a lot of people's confusion as well, and thanks for being here today.
No, thank you so much. Bye.